Well, two earthquakes hitting near Palm Springs within a couple of hours, a 4 earlier tonight, and now a 4.4 just minutes ago. No reports of any damage or injuries there. Tom, by the way, just fielded a phone call from someone who said she was Edna Pringle, JC's ex. She claims that she has indeed left the compound, is living with a Streamlink member, and is quite happy. And she may call in during one of our open line calls. Speaking of calls, in a moment, your phone calls with our guest, Mark DeMuha, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Mark DeMuha, our guest, and your many phone calls. Let's go right to the calls now, Mark. You ready?
I sure am.
Let's pick it up by going to West of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name's Sean from Palmdale, California.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Mark, it's good to hear from you again. I haven't been able to talk to you in a while. Surprised that I haven't thought about this, but one of my questions to you was on your funding issues. Do you believe that this is a great conspiracy against you to kill your funding? Because I've noticed throughout the 3 years we've been talking about this, your funding has dropped and dropped and dropped, even though you killed budgets and you've switched a couple, I believe you switched a couple of scripts on it and tried to get some more funding. But overall, I mean, I've seen you just struggle with hell with funding for this film. And also, what type of problems do you see when you get into filming this thing?
Well, you know, I'm glad that you asked that, and I think I know who this is. And the thing about the funding is we peddled the screenplay to a lot of people that are prominent in the industry, and the reaction initially was, wow, 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 what a great thing. They read the screenplays. They wrote great coverage. And initially people came to us, and they're like, we want to do this, we want to do this, and then all of a sudden, we can't do it. We have another obligation.
Another conspiracy.
Well, yeah, I'm not building anything in my garage that's going to give anybody free energy. But what I am building in my garage is a message to let everybody in America know that they should have something in their garage that could run their house for free. And that's kind of what the caller just asked. You know, we've kind of turned this into a grassroots movement, and come hell or high water, we're going to make this movie. And if it has to be done through, you know, $1.50 contributions to the internet over the next year until we have the money to do it properly, or if an investor that has a lot of backbone that wants to get behind it wants to do it, that's great. But either way, we're going to get it made, because Nikola Tesla deserves to have his story told. He deserves to have his work known, because his work is good for us.
Should find people from Westinghouse. They might do it.
I'd take it.
They might do it. Let's go to Wild Card Line. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
This is Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
How are you doing? I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And first off, I want to comment on the weather changes here. It has been quite a warm September and October.
Very strange for Minnesota.
Very strange. It was 65, I believe it came to today.
Gee.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you'll get your burst of the weather, but it is weird.
It is quite weird. The second thing is that I wanted to talk about is I grew up in Lakeville, Minnesota, and on a lake, Orchard Lake, and a buddy of mine lived down the lake, and I lived just away from it. And he had a neighbor that he claims had a generator that was his next door neighbor that ran off of its own power the whole time. Now it's basically an open lot. The house has been torn down. And I believe,
Alternating current.
Yes. Is this the same thing that Nikola Tesla was talking about?
Well, Nikola Tesla was the arbiter or the inventor of alternating current,
which we all have in our houses now.
Right. What Nikola did is he took it a step further and showed how you could harness what he called ethereal or etheric energy to run an alternating current generator or a motor.
And again, that's atmosphere. That's energy out of the universe or the atmosphere.
You can view it in Alaska. They call it Aurora Borealis.
Correct.
Okay.
My question to you is this generator that once it had a jump start and ran off of its own power and created power enough to power the house, is that possible?
Well, according to the people that were around Tesla, was that the black box that he had also needed to be primed, like you're talking about. They had to have a little bit of a battery to kind of give it a push, kind of like if you're siphoning water out of a tank.
Right.
But once that happened, the siphon began, and it would run perpetually on its own, on the power source that it drew from the atmosphere. So theoretically, because obviously none of his work is available for me to look at, theoretically, he did it, and that's what we're trying to get back out there.
Okay. I just hope that this the guy who created this generator is one of your listeners.
Well, he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah. This is so indicative of so many other.
Yeah, Tesla died in 1943.
No, not Nikola Tesla. This guy who grew up a mile away from me, who actually created this generator that ran off of its own power, and he ran his house for a couple of years on this system.
I think he's dead too.
Well, you know, and George, this story is indicative of hundreds of stories that I've heard time and time
again. And then they fade away.
They disappear. I got an email from a young lady maybe 3 days ago. She forwarded an email about a friend who was tinkering with Tesla technology, and some guys showed up wearing black suits and sunglasses and I guess scared the poop out of him. And a year later, he disappeared mysteriously while camping.
Well, I get it. These people, like Eugene Malov, they die under strange circumstances, or they disappear, and like the case up in Minneapolis in Minnesota, nobody knows.
It's a conspiracy, and it's a conspiracy that centers around, and I'm not just going to say Tesla. I don't want to sound too self-absorbed in my project, but around anything that would take away the massive amounts of revenue that are generated with the current archaic power generation that we have in this country.
Did Tesla realize, though, what the downside could have been with all those electrical currents coming down from the atmosphere all over the place?
I think that Nikola Tesla viewed those as being here already, and that he was creating kind of a symbiotic relationship with them.
I mean, I hate to be in a plane getting zapped by one of those.
Well, you know, what's funny is he had a model for airplanes that would actually fly from power that was generated from a tower away from them, and that energy would be beamed to that individual airplane. And those airplanes could run perpetually with this electricity that's being transmitted from a certain location in the United States.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, hi, welcome.
This is Jem from Emeryville, California.
Hello, Jem.
Hello. I read a little book about Tesla, and I wanted to know if what I read was true, that he had this kind of passion for pigeons, and he would bring home, you know, all the injured pigeons, you know, from New York, and he supposedly had this telepathic bond with this one pure white pigeon, and he could supposedly call it telepathically. It would fly to him from wherever it was in New York, and he was supposed to be at a lecture one time, and they found him in a nearby park covered with pigeons. Is there any truth to any of that?
There is truth about his relationship with the pigeons. As to the telepathic connection between any particular one, I've never read anything about that. But I think we discussed it earlier, George. After he had his breakdown, a lot of energy was devoted to those pigeons, and he even went as far as to order special seeds from I guess it'd be the room service at the hotel that he lived in for the pigeons that were wounded that he kept.
Well, maybe, that's a true story there, Jim.
Maybe that was sanity, you know? It's like, you know.
It was his therapy.
He claimed on several occasions to have telepathic powers. And it's not something that he walked around and broadcasted, but those that were close to him knew that he specifically believed that he received some of his knowledge. These flashes were kind of telepathic, precursors.
Uh-huh.
So the pigeon story is true. He was a big fan of pigeons, and he did bring them to his hotel room, and he did care for wounded ones.
Well, there was supposedly a pure white one that he was so bonded with that he would just think of it and it would come.
I got to believe that's true, too, because you seem to know a lot about this part of his life.
Oh, I love pigeons.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Whatever happened to the Pierce Arrow car, by the way?
Nobody knows.
Did they ever produce any of them?
Well, the Pierce Arrow company was eventually bought out, and I can't remember off the top of my head the name of the company, but that company subsequently went out of business anyways.
So they squashed that one.
Yeah, and which is sad, because if the Pierce Arrow company, again, had wanted to follow through with this, they would have probably ended up being GM, Ford, and Chrysler put together today.
Yeah.
They would have been in a super financial power position when it came to automotive transportation.
You know, if it were ever revealed that Big Oil, for example, hid or suppressed this technology, and they did it all together, which is, a restraint, let's say a free trade or something.
Right.
Maybe they could all go to jail for it.
Well, you know, I suspect that the politicians who have earned 50% of their living from campaign donations, you know, the according to the Internet Revenue Code, a person can run for office, and whatever money he doesn't spend in that campaign, he could pocket his personal income.
You mean when the election's over?
Right. If I run for Congress and I raise $10 million, I spend $1 million. The Internet Revenue Code allows me to take the other $9 million and put it in my pocket as long as I declare it as income.
As income, yeah.
So there's a lot of money to be made in the politicking of protecting the big energy companies. And I'm not going to name any of them, but the big energy providers.
They're all out there. We all know who they are. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Oh, hello.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Joe from Tucson.
Hi, Joe.
And I wanted to mention a couple things. One thing is that Art Bell built that big antenna up there at his place.
Sure did.
Yeah, and he tapped into the energy source, this universal energy source.
Yeah, he's grabbing it from somewhere.
Yeah, it's exactly what Tesla was talking about.
Art has created a Tesla antenna.
Well, you know, what's funny, too, is I talked to Art about a year and a half ago. And that was one of the first things that he mentioned was his antenna array. And I was like, and I didn't mention him tonight. I mentioned ham operators because I don't know who does and does not want their name mentioned. But
oh, no, I understand.
He's done a phenomenal thing there. And it's something to be proud of with Art. I mean, Art's a smart guy.
Yeah. What he needs to do is develop that. It powers his house. Anyway, what I wanted to talk to the guest about is if there's any possible tie between Tesla and Royal R. Rife. Dr. Royal R. Rife picked up, I think, on Tesla's theories of vibration. Everything has a resonance.
It's a good point. I think you're absolutely right. Did you ever see that name?
The writings of Tesla are sparse on what's available. The only person that I know that was actually direct, I don't know of any tie between Tesla and this gentleman, but I know that Henry Morey, a guy out of Salt Lake City, who was a huge fan of Tesla and went on to get his PhD in electrical engineering, came up with something very similar to Tesla. So, you know, people said, aren't people making this stuff out there? Well, yeah, this guy out of Salt Lake City, Henry Morey, did it, and he ended up getting shot.
Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Hey.
Mark.
Hey.
This is Rob in North Carolina. How you guys doing?
Good, good.
We're having a discussion at a party on Sunday. It's funny, it's sort of prophetic, about these new hybrid cars, the Toyota Synergy Drive and this new Honda-powered Civic. I know they have an Insight, too. But the reason why we're talking about it is my sister has a Honda in the core. It's the Civic. She gets 43 miles per gallon. Now, they're advertising 50 miles per gallon for the hybrid, which to me, 7 miles per gallon is piddly compared to what the price of the vehicle is and how nobody can work on it but some of the Honda dealers in the country. Most of them won't even work on it. I was speaking to my brother-in-law, and I said, why don't they just design a car that has two electric motors and with two separate battery sources, and when one motor runs and the other motor shuts down except for just to charge the batteries on a generator type of thing running on the wheels. And he said to me, he says, hey, Tesla did that 75 years ago. Is that the same type of thing, or is this box completely different?
From what I understand what you're saying, it's a little different. It almost sounds like he's talking about a DC motor, a direct current motor. And DC motors existed for electric cars, but the problem was is their inefficiency caused them to blow batteries up. Tesla's unique use of alternating current and, again, the mystical ethereal energy that set him apart as being unique. And then, of course, a caller calls and talks about Art pulling electricity out of his backyard, out of the atmosphere with an antenna array. So, yeah. What you're talking about, I think, is something that, actually another car company, and I forgot the name of it because they're not around anymore, had worked at using direct current motors, and it ended up failing because of the strain on the batteries.
Well, also, I wanted to mention, incidentally, that, you know, I drive George. I've talked to George many times. I'm on the road everywhere, and I've seen actually a trucking company that must haul vintage cars, and their sign on the back of their car has got a picture of a Pierce Arrow. I don't know what year it is, but it must be one of the cars that they carry or have it in a museum, so there must be one of them somewhere around. I don't know whether it's the electric model, but there is definitely a Pierce Arrow. I think it might have been Woodrow Wilson's car.
Wilson was president during the time that these things were going on, and for the electric ones, there was only one made. But Pierce Arrow, lovely car. It's a very luxurious vehicle, and I see them in California here. I live in Los Angeles, so you see a lot of older cars because of the weather. And, no, it's a lovely car, but as for an actual electric version of it, the only one that was ever made was the prototype created by Tesla.
Okay, well, great show. Have a good night, George. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. I'm going to have the name of one of those car companies in just a moment, and you can tell me, Mark, if you think that's the name of it, because I think Jeff Bridges starred as the guy who was in charge of the company. It was named after
Tucker.
The Tucker, that's right. Was that it?
But no, it wasn't, but there's something to be said about the Tucker. And when you talk about innovation, and I like to think of myself like a person that could speak intelligently about most things, but Tucker was kind of a mini Tesla in the automotive industry. He came up with the first rear-mounted engines. He came up with the first aluminum alloy cast.
Safety engine. Features.
Safety
everything.
Features like seatbelts. And he was run out of another person that was run out of the business by the industry.
They crushed him.
But I have to say this for Tucker. Out of the 50 Tuckers that he rolled off the line, 48 of them are still in roadworthy condition today.
Are they really? Collectors have them?
They had all 48 of them on the set of the movie when they filmed Tucker.
That is unbelievable.
And one of them was destroyed in a fire, so only one of them went the way of the world.
We got time for one more quick one before the break. International Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Mr. Norrie.
Yes, sir.
It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I credit you for bringing me back into intuition.
Excellent.
It was the program, I think it was a woman that was talking about reaching out to the plants.
Mm-hmm.
And that whenever a person enters into a room, that the plants recognize it.
I think her name was Shabira Bird, if I can recall.
That Bird is right, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And her husband,
well, that was about 6 or 9 months ago. And I switched on shortwave about a year ago with a Grundig S350 with a ground straight to the ground. And from there, I can pick up a little bit of what's going on with these ionospheric heaters.
What do you mean?
Scalar weapons.
I'll tell you, I'm going to take this break and put you on hold, but I'll come right back to you, okay?
If you want to hear about it, sure.
Absolutely. I'll be back. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to bring you some more stunning talk radio. And also this week, a roundtable discussion coming up on Earth changes as well. So you've got a whole potpourri of great programs coming up on Coast to Coast this week. But when we come right back, more of your phone calls with our special guest, Mark DeMuha, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our guest, of course, Mark DeMuha, and your phone calls. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, my name is Melissa. I'm calling from Windsor, California.
Hi, Melissa.
I had a question for your guest. I was researching, got interested in Tesla and Coral Castle back when you did the last Coral Castle show.
Okay.
And found on the Freedom of Information Act a document that I wasn't able to look up using Tesla. I looked it up using Sava, his nephew, and espionage. And it states in here where his papers are at, that they're in a Manhattan warehouse and storage company. And it states that on January 26th, 27th, 1943, representatives of the Alien Report custodian made a thorough review of the entire effects that they took, and that was the only examination of papers as of April 17, 1950. That's when this was dated, this letter. That was the only examination of effects that took place, and that it was states that the group making the examination were wore U.S. Navy uniforms, and during the 2 days required to complete the examination, the civilian assistants in the group were identified as federal authorities. And then says no other instance of microfilming of the records of the Tesla estate has taken place since that time. I was wondering if he, you know, there's so much questions about where the papers are at. Has he heard of this Manhattan warehouse?
Well, I've heard of the Manhattan warehouse, but I have a document which looks like an abstract of a memorandum from the DOD, and having served in the military and seen a lot of DOD memorandums, I kind of have an idea what they look like. So it looks authentic. I'm not going to attest to it. But this is from the Department of Defense Research and Engineering Department, and it's a memorandum for the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation requesting papers recovered on the death of Nikola Tesla. And basically, just to summarize it, it says, we understand that the FBI may have in their possession a number of papers found after the death of Nikola Tesla in 1943. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because this is dated 9 February 1981.
Yeah, this one's 7-3-1980.
Right.
It's pretty close.
So what it looks like is the DOD over in R&D is looking to get a hold of some of this technology. And of course, looking at the dates here, we can only assume these many years later that they've gotten a hold of some of it. And during the Gulf War, there were reports of possibly an EMP weapon being detonated or used in the Gulf War. And again, electromagnetic pulse is tightly related to some of the things that Nikola Tesla worked on.
Okay, thank you. Let's go back to our international line now, as promised. You are on Coast to Coast. Okay, I'll let you finish your story. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Mr. DeMuha.
Yeah.
It is great that you are sending out the message about Tesla again. We were going to get peaches down at Niagara Falls, out by that way, in the fruit belt. And the man at the stand, the owner, he starts preaching to me about Tesla.
They have a beautiful statue of Tesla right there by the Niagara power plant.
Huh.
That's what brought it all up, yeah. And he's the man at the fruit stand is also setting up a website, because it's a kinsman from the same nation.
Right. I've actually gotten a couple of emails from people that claim to be friends of family members of Tesla, which I'm going to actually research, because this has become kind of a life pursuit for me. And I appreciate your thanks, because this has become more important than just me making a movie. Now it's become, that's why we took it to the internet. That's why we made this into a grassroots thing where we can let everybody in America participate and make this everybody's movie, not just mine and Mike's.
And Mark, what were you saying when you were dabbling around with your shortwave?
Okay. When Mr. Hoagland was talking about the group B that was fighting back.
Right.
I've known that for a year, but I had no actual proof. When we had that CME, November 4th, I think it was last year, I had further proof, because of the amount of radiation that was going through the atmosphere was affecting the shortwave frequencies that I was listening to.
Okay.
So I knew now exactly what to listen for. And I can give you those frequencies if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
How many are there?
Oh, there's six of them. 4.353 and 7. 4.286. 4.350. Those are good an hour before sunset, and then most of the night. The other ones are 8.467, 8.58, I think it is.
One
more. Make that 6.7.
6.7, all right.
Okay, let me start over again. 8.467, and also the other one is 8.843. Now, that last one, from what I can sort out, is the main one.
Now, what do we listen for?
Okay, what you listen for is the shunt, like the big diesel trains. They give that shunting sound. Then there's a secondary echo in behind that. I use a Grundig S350 with a direct ground.
And these are all megahertz, right?
Those are all megahertz, yes.
Okay, now once we're listening to this and we hear these shunts, what does this mean?
Then you listen for the next couple of days and listen for the differences. And what you'll find when those shunts are working, especially on that 8.483, that's when the good guys are out.
8.843, you said. Right?
8.843.
Yeah.
Plus or minus 3 kilohertz on all of them. Go on to the sideband, and you'll even find more information on that.
So that means somebody's playing around one way or another. We don't know if it's Team A or Team B, though, do we?
You can decipher it, yes.
You can?
You can. Go into intuition when you're listening to it. And then go to the direct source who knows everything.
Who's that?
The God Almighty.
Well, how am I going to do
that? The Most High.
How am I going to do that?
You're the one that brought it out into the public eye.
Oh, maybe I stumbled into it.
Yeah, you said pray for one another, put out the good thoughts, and get a return on it.
Oh, all right. We'll try to do that. We'll let our ham experts work on that, though, because I can't. You're not a ham, are you, Mark?
All of my experience with any type of radios were directly related to military service, like the Singar and the PR-77s and the old Prick 77s, or what they call them.
East of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Good morning, George and Mark. This is a great show, George, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Before I get into the patent for the ambient energy tapping device and for large-scale electrical energy storage, the lesser application for free energy or near-free energy, I want to implore of Mark to check out the work of William A. Tiller, a physicist at Stanford in material science, whose mathematics is backed up not only at that institution but Princeton, and whose work I believe today, and after examining many scientific and technological documents over the years, the most profound scientific revelation on Earth today. He's been on this show with Art Bell at one point, and if you check out Tiller in quotes, plus sign that in quotes, intention, end of quote, you'll get a revelation of the energy in one atom, and he talks about the hydrogen atom, that will have your jaw drop, and you will find that this man is, in your view, either on crack or has the most profound insights into the energy in this universe. And that reflects the comments of Nikola Tesla, what he found to be in the energy of one atom alone. And it's absolutely staggering. Please, folks, go on to the internet, check out Intention plus Tiller, and look at what he has to say. The mathematics is there to back it up. It is shocking. It will shock you to your core.
See, but Tiller may have also been using some of Tesla's work, don't you think?
Tiller is knowledgeable, surely, of what Tesla's been about, but the continuation of the science and the mathematics is absolutely astounding. Yeah,
he's a physicist.
And I just implore your listeners and Mark to look at that. But I wanted to explore, in light of the importance of the ambient energy tapping device, what patent exists for that, but also for large-scale electrical energy storage. Now, the large-scale electrical energy storage is quite bizarre to me, the lesser of the application, but you know, it's odd that we don't even have a report in the free Western world, at least in North America, on this technology, let alone the application of it. We have to pay through the nose for energy we don't have because we don't store it, or sell off what we do have because we don't store it, even though you and I will have energy in our car battery, we'll have it in our flashlights, but hey, let's not have large-scale electrical energy storage, even though we've got superconducting magnetic energy storage, or SMES, and that's found under Google. What's the patent for the ambient energy tapping device, and what's the patent for large-scale electrical energy storage?
Do you know that at all?
Maybe no, I have those patent numbers, but it's in a document that's got to be 500 pages.
Okay, you got to pull that out, obviously.
Yeah, so I'm going to find it and put it up on the website now, just because he asked.
Okay, very good. Thanks. Appreciate the call. Wildcard line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Is this George Norison?
Yes, sir. You got him.
Norison, you remember me, Scotty P?
Scotty P.
Hi, Mark, by the way.
Hi.
I don't, but that's okay.
Okay, remember, I thought you were Japanese. I call you Nori-san.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Anyways, do you know what happened 10 years prior to Katrina in New Orleans? It was the biggest storm prior to Katrina in New Orleans, correct?
Was it Ivan, right?
I'm not sure the name. No, this was after Andrew. It was in 1995, April of 95, exactly 10 years, 6 months, give or take a week, prior to Katrina.
Was that Hurricane Fran?
Now, what I did was I was growing wheat, right? Art actually laughed me off the air for this. And I actually made it rain.
You made it rain.
Yeah, I tapped into the powers of God and whatnot. Okay, that's off the subject. I truly believe in what you guys say. To the core. I want to say that the pole shift will happen on 2012, and everything that the aliens and everything that's in the fourth dimension will occur. I'm 100% positive that that's going to happen, as well as our movie going to get made, Mark, and our movie Skater Hater, which I put on headline news, will be made as well. Now, remember the show you had with the sixth chakra and the seventh chakra of the earth that hasn't been formed yet?
Yep.
Okay. I truly believe that the seventh chakra, which us humans possess, human beings, which is going to evolve into a new race called Neo Sapiens. And you could go to neosapiens.net to see what they're doing, will evolve and give the earth the seventh chakra, aligning it in a straight off the 23 and a half degrees or whatever it is, 23 and a third degree, aligning it. With that, of course, will come global things and massive people not around with us anymore.
But the year 2012 is the target year. Now, don't tell me Tesla ever wrote about that year, Mark, did he?
No, I didn't, and I'm glad that I got onto the show before you retired.
Well, I'm not going to retire. I've decided to change my mind. I'm going straight through until I stop.
No, you know, Nikola was an intuitive, without a doubt, but I don't think he ever looked farther ahead in anything other than the technology that he wanted to bring to humanity to make life here.
A lot of people, though, like Scott, think there's going to be a major upheaval at 2012. I don't think it will be, to tell you the truth.
Well, you know, the history of mankind is filled with people that were sure that certain things were going to, or certain times were going to be the end times. And I think it's one of those things where we just kind of got to wait it out. And if something happens, something happens. And if not, like you said, we're going to just have to ride it out.
Well, I got to tell you, of all the things that I've heard you talk about with Tesla, the one that astounds me the most was the experiment in 1908 that could have created the blast over Tunguska, Siberia.
And the thing about that, too, is that proves a point about what we have at our fingertips, technologically speaking, what's capable, what we're capable of technologically, what we can do as human beings. You're talking about a massive amount of energy. You're talking about if of course, Tesla, I don't think, ever had any malice in doing what he did.
But he probably didn't have any idea how powerful this was.
No, and I think that's why I think he underestimated its power and its trajectory. I believe that what he did, I really believe that he was a peaceable man, and I think he introduced, even what happened in 1908, I think his long-term goal was to create a situation where mutually assured destruction, if that's what we're going to use, the phrase we're going to use, or some other reason to have the bad people not want to fight.
Well, the man was brilliant. I wonder what he could have been like with computers.
We'd be traveling across the galaxy.
Right. Absolutely. Now, he would have worked out models of everything he was doing. Unbelievable. And I think he would have been able to leak some of this free information to us, free energy, and somehow he put it in the right hands.
Well, we're going to keep pounding the pavement until either we shake somebody out of a tree, because I believe there are people out there that do have this technology, and they're just staying underground.
Let's see if we get time to squeeze in one more. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there, George.
Yes, sir.
Mark, we have to talk about reality here. I happen to have the good fortune to know a PhD that was there at the Philadelphia experiment, and then also had a direct contact with Carl Lenti, a technician for that experiment.
Okay.
And this PhD, I had him in recent times actually create a 48-inch disc, which is basically a long Tesla's thing, and he had to fly it because we did, and it's a generator. So the generator will fly if you configure it under the Tesla the Tesla thing using some of the modern technology.
Like an anti-gravity device?
It was an anti-gravity device. Ah. It flew on its own, had its own, and basically it was working with a time ship.
And this was in the 40s?
No, this was recent time here.
Oh, recent.
Recent time. Now, and then the other thing is back in the Philadelphia experiment, with Carl Lente, which is a name that's known. He's a technician.
Right.
A dyslexic one. But the thing was that he indicated there was four cone-shaped Tesla coils on that ship in addition to DC. So you had four AC currents with a DC current, which comes into scalar waves.
Well, we have always known that Tesla and his technology was also involved in that Philadelphia experiment. Mark, we're out of time. Good luck with the movie, my friend, and everything else you're doing.
It was a pleasure talking to George, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesor, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on a next edition, Dreams. Until then, be safe, everyone.